I would invite you to turn your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3. And we'll just read 14 through 17. I think that'll work. So then, dear friends, since you're looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him. Bear in mind that your Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote. I'm in the wrong chapter. As I was reading that, really, I'm supposed to be talking about something that Paul wanted us to hear. So we'll try this again. I started reading that, I'm thinking, I don't remember that. Okay, we'll start again. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is God-breathed, and it is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word, even that which we wasn't supposed to read. I was reading 2 Timothy. I'm sorry, I didn't stop and regroup that, did I? I just moved there because it's in your bulletin, but it's not. It is, but it's not. But okay. Anyway, sorry about that. You know, last week we started on this idea of looking at those things that we actually gave an oath to, if you will, to be members of the church. And quite honestly, last week we learned that we should have faith in Christ, and that that's where our faith comes from, and that we have to know that we are a child of God. We are part of the kingdom. We are adopted into the family. And so this morning, we're going to look at the idea of Scripture and how we look at the Bible. And if we want to open this whole idea up to what the culture would have us to do, they would like us to actually rewrite some of this, and some of your translations already do. And one of them, is the New English Translation, where it comes down to say that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching. It actually says every God-breathed Scripture. Now, I find it problem with that. And that's not the only translation, but when you do that, you open up the idea that maybe some of the Scripture may not even be God-breathed. Because it says every. It doesn't say all. And as far as I'm concerned, it's all. That's what Paul wrote. That's what he meant. The biggest problem is the only way you can make it read that is you got to change the word "and" in the Greek to "also," and it's not in there. Because "and" won't work anymore. So this morning I want us to kind of stop and look at how we view Scripture in our lives and the people around us, and how we allow them to maybe manipulate, I would say, to our thinking or maybe our understanding of the Bible. You know, verse 15 says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, or who correctly handles the word of truth." Is that who we are? Are we those people? We said we would be. We know how to handle this word of truth. You know, sometimes when I'm reading my Bible, I have to go pull other things off my shelves to figure out what was actually said. Because it doesn't actually make sense to me the way it's said or whatever. And I find that there's a lot of people out there that have the same problem I do. Because I'll pull three or four commentaries off the shelf and they're different. Now, most of the time, the main idea stays the same, but their outlook on certain verses change immensely from one to the other. But at the same time, I realize that as I read through my Bible every year, I run onto those things where God has opened up a nuance, if you will, to a scripture that I've always read a certain way. Not because I read differently or I understand differently, but He helps me open that up. He allows me to see more in the Scriptures than I saw, we'll say, 10 years ago. You know, it's this idea that in infancy we get the idea of what Christianity ought to be and what our salvation ought to be. And as long as we stay in that infant state, we need mother's milk, so to speak. We need stuff kind of spoon-fed to us to where we can, it's palatable. It's swallowable. But as we get more mature in our faith, we need solider food, right? We need to be digging for that stuff that really sticks to our bones, that stuff that changes our lives forever. And I think God keeps us moving if we're willing to move, if we're willing to listen, if we're willing to actually be good stewards of His Word. And so this morning, that's kind of where I'd like to think about. Walter Layfield calls 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 the strongest statement in the Bible about itself. And that's pretty strong. Robert Black says that the tribute to the Word is a wonderful parting gift from Paul to Timothy and to us. So let's look at those scriptures in and of themselves. And if I don't get too lost, we might make it through. It says, all scripture is God-breathed. What does that mean to you? If something is God-breathed, you get the idea that God breathed and it just ended up on the page? Or are we talking about God actually spoke and they listened? God breathed on his prophet and it came to mind? It makes a lot of difference how you understand that part of it. My honest opinion is that God made sure it was all to his liking and likeness. Because if we stop and look at the scriptures for what they are God's own words to us. They're God's letters to us. And so when we think about God's breath, we need to realize that God was in control. You know, we like to say that God's in control of everything and I want to be in control of my part. Oh, hold it. We're not really supposed to say that, are we? I have trouble with that, you know. I like to have certain amount of control over my part of the world or my story or my household or whatever. But I don't. At the end of the day, God's in control of all of that. God's in control of who's in authority. God's in control of how much we actually get harvested and when. He's in control of who gets down the highway and who don't. Not that he causes people to have problems, but at the same time, he doesn't necessarily have to stop them from having problems. So when we stop and think about this idea of being God-breathed, let's make sure that we realize the only way we can actually see it that way is if we truly believe that we are saved. If we truly believe what we said last week, that we are a part of children of God, we are in God's hands. That's the only way we can truly believe that God breathed this. There's those people that want us to believe that only parts of the Bible are breathed by God. That only parts of the Bible are still relevant. That parts of the Bible actually are culturally out of sync, so we don't have to worry about those. And I'm here to tell you that if that's true, none of it is worth reading. If you believe that there's certain parts that are not relevant because of culture, because of our day and age, I would suggest you quit reading altogether. Because it comes down to the same thing as we spoke about last week. It's what you believe. It's your faith in God in heaven. The God that not only sent his Son to die for us, but he's also the God that created the world we live in. And if we're going to take what he breathed, if we're going to take his scripture, and decide which parts of his words we're going to live by, we might as well not live by any of them. Because that's not Christianity. That's not believing in God. And it's definitely not believing in his word to be, as we would say, do you believe the Bible is God's written word, uniquely inspired by the Holy Spirit, do you accept the authority for what you must believe and how you must live? See, that's the part that really bothers us. It's easy to believe. The thing that's tough is giving it authority over your life. So let's make sure that we are on board. And it is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness. That's what we do every time we meet. Well, we're supposed to. We're supposed to allow the Bible to impermeate us in such a way that we help one another. Not because we think it's a great idea. It's because God gave it to us. You know, the Bible tells us that His very word's going to be written on our hearts. The funny part of all that is, that's done before we become Christians. That's done before we have made that decision. We're born with His word written on our hearts. Are we acceptable to it, or accepting to it? Or are we going to fight it? And if we're going to fight it, are we really helping one another? Are we really using the word to open up one another's hearts and minds? Very important. And so that all God's people may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Uh-oh. Now we're in trouble. We not only have to be thoroughly equipped, we not only need to know what it says and why it says it and how that works in our lives and allow God to use that to monitor who we are and how we live. But now we have to use it. You know, there's many of our denominations that they're so stuck on this idea that we can't get to heaven by works, which I believe, because I think it's a gift of God. But our Bible, God breathed, told us we're supposed to be doing good works. You can't have one without the other. We are supposed to do nice things for our neighbors. We are supposed to teach those around us. We are supposed to help one another when they're down and out. We are supposed to pray for one another. We're supposed to lift each other up. Good works. Is that going to get to heaven? No. But my Bible says, if you love me, you will obey me. And if God says we need to do good works, we need to do good works. We can't be saved, walk out the door, and do nothing about it. We have to allow God's word to impermeate. I really hate that word, impermeate. But I really wanted to say it because, you know, it's the new word of the day. But anyway, have we allowed God to really fill our lives to the point that we exude Him and His word? Have we allowed God to really help us reflect God's love on the community around us? Because that's the only way it'll happen. The only way that our lives will change anything is if our love is as big as God's. And unless we're willing to allow God's word to have authority over our lives, to dictate how we live and where we go, who we help and who we don't. And if you don't, read some more, because we're supposed to help everyone. And the whole reason for that is we believe that God's word is breathed. God's word is written down because God did something, not because man did. Man was only the instrument used by God. And guess what? I'm not sure exactly how many people are here this morning. I'm going to say 32 just on an off chance. But that's how many instruments are in this room. And God wants to use every one of those to its fullest. So if we aren't willing to allow God's word to have authority over our lives, then we're not getting it. And we've already swore that we was going to use that book to have authority over our lives. Let us pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, we come to you and we do thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to come and to worship you and to hear from you and allow you to just fill our hearts and our minds with your word, to help us to enjoy your fullness within us. Help us to become the Christians that you'd have us to be, which is in turn is going to give us more joy and more love, more gentleness, more respect for one another. And so this morning, Lord, we just ask that your Holy Spirit infill us, that you help us to have the true understanding and belief that you, Lord, wrote this book to us, a gift, one that we can understand through your help. We ask this in your precious name. Amen.
Please stand and join us as we sing number 3.